Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry. Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We are back at Churchill Downs on this Thurby, and this is one of our favorite visits of the year. We only get to talk to Satish a couple of times these days, but it's always anticipated, not just by me, but by the entire At the Races listenership. Satish Sinan, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm terrific, and as always, the opening greeting includes a I miss you, and everybody misses you.
Well, it's always great to talk to you. I miss the sport, but I'm busy with other things. How's your health? You doing well?
I think so. I think so. I hope that it's the first and only heart attack. But I had
one of those in 2003, and then ignored it in 2005, and at 74, I'm still kicking ass, so that's okay.
Well, you took it seriously, and you got yourself very healthy, and of course, Ann is over you like like
right
Snapper Garrison.
Yeah. How's Tina doing?
She's very good. She's good. She can't get here until literally post time Saturday. The flights are so bad. So she's not going to be here till. She may get here just for the race, and then will immediately leave. You know, after the day. So. It's kind of goofy, but so she's not going to be here. But I'll hold down the fort. Update everybody, Satish, because they all ask me. They say, "Tell me what Satish is up to, and explain the project and how close you guys are."
Yeah, we've been at it now for 7 years. You know, I really got into it in 2013-14, and we raised a lot of money, put a lot of money, and we focus on cancer, we focus on oncology. In the early days, when you have cancer, you know, cancer is, even though you go and see an oncologist, but it's really diagnosed by a pathologist, and cancer is diagnosed by looking at the colors and shapes of the cells, because they apply some, you know, stains and biomarkers and so on. So we were able to look at, they make glass slides out of it at a very high magnification and predict the grade of the cancer, and it's called the diagnostic and prognostic assay. So we were able to say what it is and how it can improve and so on. But the business has evolved, and COVID was tough on us as a business, healthcare is tough. But what we do today, our flagship product, we have built very, very sophisticated software, which is artificial intelligence and machine learning and so on. So we are able to, on average, Steve, if 100,000 patients are seen, about 10 to 12% of those have cancer. And we have the ability to 100% of the time find who has cancer. And then we develop the software that immediately upon diagnosis you are able to tell the patient, so if you are an oncologist, tell the patient, here are all the clinical trials available, here's the latest therapies available, and so on. And that we call it the clinical trials matching software. And I am passionate about it, and I'm going to very soon on a website, any patient anywhere in the world with cancer will be able to just log on and put basic details about their disease and diagnosis and where they live. And immediately they will know where the trials are going on and who the principal investigators are and how far, and they can do that. So we're doing some good, but we're going to do well out of it. But I'm still 2 years away, Steve. It's been a long haul, but it's doing great.
Well, anxious each year to get an update, and you have crafted so many successes in your business career, and this is something that goes beyond just a business endeavor. It obviously has an incredible utility and potential to help save lives. So it's exciting from that standpoint. And what else is exciting is your opportunity to pick some winners on Oaks and Derby weekend. Let's get into it. What do you like?
Well, the Oaks, I haven't had a lot of time, but thank God we have the post-position draw on Monday, so I looked at it. And you may be surprised, but I think that the old coach, my trainer, Wayne Lucas, I think his filly is going to be tough to beat. I think she ran against the boys and had some trouble in the break and run some good races, been progressing well, and good buyers and good numbers, and so I like her a lot, and so I'm going to bet her win, place, show. And then for the exacta, I like Wayne's filly, Ness Todd's filly, and Steve, everybody must be on Steve's filly, Echo Zulu, and then last but not least, Shook McGahee. So win, play, show on the one, exacta 147.10, and then I have a super with 147.10 with the winter horses. So that's the Oaks pick. I also looked at the Turf Classic, and again, I like the one again. I think this filly, Ivor, run very, very good in the last four or five races.
Yes.
They're about training well. Has good numbers, and he's a low-profile trainer, but he does well. So good odds, I think, 4-1, 5-1. So I'm going to play that win, play, show, and then in the exact, I'm going to have 1-6-8-10, the six horse being Cheryl Sprite, the Roger Atfield, and Chad Brown, and then Brandon Walsh. Those are my four exact, and then I have the 1-6-8-10 and bunch of horses for super. And then for the Derby was tough. It's a very competitive race, in my opinion. A lot of people are going to be on Epicenter. Steve's horse, I think, ran the 1-3-16, so we know that can get the distance, has good buyer figures, and I also like two other horses, the six. I'm assuming both 6 and 10, 12 are Baffert's horses. They're just running under Tim.
They're running under Tim's name, but Tim's training them, though, Satish. I mean, Baffert has had no contact. I mean, he is off-site. It's Yakteen Show. And, of course, Yakteen, was a long-time assistant to Baffert. So, I mean, he certainly knows the way in which Baffert would bring horses like this up to a Derby.
Yeah, so I think both of his horses are tough. The one that won the Santa Anita Derby, I think that particular day ran a good race, but only two races.
Yeah.
I like his other horse. I like Messier a great deal. I think ran a very good race prior to the Santa Anita Derby, and even in the Santa Anita Derby, I think Johnny can get another one. So for the Derby, again, I am playing the six horse. I'm going to go win, place, show on the six. I'm going to box 1-3-6-10, And then I have 136 with 136-10 and a bunch of horses for the super. So those are my picks. And for the triple Oaks, 147-10 and Turf Classic, 168-10 and with the Derby, 136-10-12. So that's my pick three.
Outstanding. I like it. I like the fact that you spread. To be honest, if somebody wanted to narrow, I think they could narrow a little bit. I love the Ivar, Cheryl Spite, top pair in the Turf Classic Satish. But if people want to go the whole route, 4x4x5, so a $40 pick three for 50 cents, or play it for $1 for $80.
We'll play it for $100. How's that?
So we'll
get the big one. We'll hit the bottom. Ball out of the park.
You're the greatest. That's the way Satish rolls, folks. That's what you're talking about. It's an all or nothing proposition, right?
Yeah. Well, you're going to bet with both hands. If you like something, that's what we'll do. So we'll see what happens.
I love it. I love it. Now, Satish, it should be a very nice weekend. Are you going to be able to enjoy at least Saturday?
I will. Yeah, I'm going to watch the late afternoon Oaks. I have a busy day on Friday, just back-to-back Zoom calls, tired of these Zoom calls. But Saturday I'm going to take time off and enjoy the races, and hopefully we can hit one or two.
Well, I, as always, can't thank you enough for the time. And how about the kids? How are the kids? Everybody good? Are their grandchildren?
They're all doing, yes. Yeah, three grandchildren. And, Nadia has three kids. Shemaine is still not married, and Sasha's are married. But he's doing well. He's moved twice. He was a company called Airtable. That was his second company, and he was a 30th employee. They have a $4 billion market cap company, so he made a ton of money. And he's gone to a company now. Again, he was the 30th employee there called Recurrency. They already have a few $100 million market cap. He's a smart son of a gun. He really is. He's a good sales guy. He's doing well. So, yeah, we're all doing well. Thanks for asking,
We miss the fam. We miss the Sinans at the racetrack, believe me. We talked 3-4 times a year, but I you can't believe everybody asks me all the time, are we going to hear from Satish? How is Satish? What is Satish up to? Everybody misses you.
Well, tell them to keep watching this company called Inspirata, INSPIRATA, like Inspired Data. So it's going to be on the map soon, hopefully. We've been waiting for a long time, but Steve, you don't know, but I got into the cancer business because Anne's mother's father's sister died of cancer. That's on my side of the family, and so I gave up all this shit to do this, and it's been tough, but healthcare is a tough business, but we're doing well, so I think we're going to come out okay on the other end.
I am thrilled to hear it, and just hearing your voice is always cheering for me and for all the listeners. Satish Sinan, everybody, one of the great owners in this game the past 35 years, and we're going to get him back. He'll be a great owner again once the business stuff gets ironed out and up and running and really rolling. We're going to get you back.
Great, Steve. Great to hear. Good luck to you and everyone else and to the listeners. I appreciate you've been in this business a long time, and you've been doing this. So, you've made a difference in the business. You contribute. You've been the conscience of the industry. So keep doing that good work.
I appreciate that. Satish Sinan, everyone who has taught us all so much about how the game works, and wish him the best of luck. I'll put up his picks for the Oaks Turf Classic Derby pick three, and we'll catch up with him later in the year, Satish Sinan. And let's turn here, because I've got Tom Law sitting next to me, and he's got a tight 15-minute window. Pretty much, right?
You got a little more.
Bye, Steve.
Bye, Satish. You got the big
national
big
turf riders and broadcasters.
You scheduled it so that I couldn't go?
Yeah, we heard some groundswell that maybe you were thinking about running for one of the officer positions. So I said, you know, I can't deal with him on the board.
You're darn right. If nominated, I shall not run. I shall not serve, whatever it is.
I could nominate you for president. That's my current role. And I'm always looking for a successor.
This is one of the few jobs and one of the few positions around the industry that no one can ever find their replacement. It's like one of those things that we have my fantasy league. We have our man Will Collins from Altoona, and Will has been commissioner for life because no one wants to do the job. So so every year we say, does anybody want to replace Will? And no one, and they say no. So he's commissioner for life. So you're president for life.
Well, I was president back in 2005 to 2000. You know, for 6 years. Got off the hook. It was time for someone else to do it. No one had ever really served 6 years before. Somehow I ended up back on the board a few years ago now, and Alicia Hughes was the president at the time, who was somebody that I kind of hoped would one day take over as president, because she obviously has her finger on the pulse of things that the news media have to deal with and understands the industry, understands a lot of the players. Alicia, did it for a couple years and did a great job and was kind of ready to step aside, as most people do when they're in that role. And we had a board meeting, and we were talking about ideal candidates and what kind of person we're looking for. And, the meeting was kind of going in a few different directions. And finally I just said, look, this is the kind of person we need. We need somebody that understands the things I just said, understands the needs of the broadcasters and the writers and can get along with the other members of the steering committee, NTRA, Jockey Club, Racing Form, Keeneland, Churchill Downs Incorporated, Stronach Group, a lot of the players, the big players in the game. And Frank Angst, my former longtime colleague and at Thoroughbred Times and now writer for the Blood Horse, he just says, Tom, sounds kind of like you. Which I was not making a pitch at all. I was not expecting that. And I just said, well, okay, I'd be willing to do it again if no one else steps up. Or we actually ended up having another nominee at that meeting, so we actually had an actual election. So that was, I don't know. It's kind of like when people buy horses and people congratulate them for winning congratulations. Yeah, I just spent, $500,000. I always find that funny. I don't know if I should have been congratulated or not. But anyway, here I am. I'm still here today, and actually we're having our twice-a-year meeting, and this year we are actually electing the whole slate of directors and officers. Or not the whole slate of directors. Three directors of the six, and president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, all up for election again. I'll probably be nominated again.
Is there? Did I miss the whole?
That was all sent out.
It was.
Yeah, I send out newsletters. People don't. I don't send them out very frequently. I used to be the president of my running club in Saratoga, and I used to send out a weekly little update, and I would send things in there, and people. I'd make mention of various things. People would be like, "Oh, I don't read that."
What did you make mention of? Potholes to avoid?
Yeah, avoid the, there's roots and rocks on the Saratoga Spa Park trails. various things, wear your reflective gear, make sure you hydrate. So that's today. We're going to talk about that. We've actually, pretty exciting, we're going to talk about a scholarship committee that we formed last fall at the Breeders' Cup. Natalie Voss Nevels has kind of taken the lead on the committee and has done a great job. They've had several meetings. We're going to talk about that, make some proposals for internships and scholarships for, hopefully prospective writing and/or broadcasting candidates. Yeah, to get some funding and help some news outlets kind of pay for those programs as well. I know money's tight these days in the publishing world and the broadcasting world. I don't need to tell you. Although you're rolling, so I hear all your corporate sponsors, and you got this, that, and the other thing. And it was kind of cool to hear Satish Sanan on today.
He's the greatest.
Somebody that I've you know, written about from time to time over the years. Actually went to his house one day, and when he was had the farm there on Old Frankfort Pike, I remember going to visit him one morning to do a story. He invited me to the house. And I always enjoyed him, you know. What a great guy, and you know, a different perspective to the game than a lot of people that I interact with or you might interact with on a day to day, week to week basis. And he was fun, you know. He's never afraid to tell you how he thinks, and I really and honestly that's the best part. I appreciate guys like that, and yeah, wish him the best, and can't wait to hear more from him going forward. So
yeah, we got to get him. We're gonna get him back in at some point. Speaking of
back in. Yeah, I'm back at the Derby. I was doing my math. I've missed three since '98. I missed the pandemic year. I missed 13. I'd moved back to Kentucky. I moved back from Kentucky to New York, and I missed 15. I missed American Pharoah.
Oh,
yeah. So I missed three. I guess three and. Three I've missed since 13, but I went every year, 98 to 2012. But now I'm back. I'm here. I don't count missing the pandemic one. It was in September. It doesn't count.
No, everybody gets a mulligan there.
Tis the Law was the best horse in the spring. He was a Derby winner to me.
I hear you. You were rooting for a Saratoga.
Of course.
Well, you know, I heard
the best horse.
Heard something very disturbing, and we're going to have to.
Yeah.
This is. I know it's an aside before we get some opinions from you, and I also want to talk about Joe Clancy's piece in the Atlantic, which is going to win an Eclipse, I will have an extensive conversation with Joe Clancy about his Red Carroll piece, about BBB. It's the 50th anniversary of Del Carroll winning with Mr. Farish's BBB, winning the Preakness.
Yeah.
Huge upset over River Ridge. And Joe wrote a piece that really includes everything about it except Eldon Nelson, who at the time had become the... I think at that time he would have been the oldest Triple Crown race winning jockey. Mm. And then Shoemaker, I think, beats him by a year
with Ferdinand.
Mm-hmm. But the story is amazing. And I've got an intimate recollection, not of the race, because it was 72 and, you know, I was only 13, and or not even, I was 12. And so I only really kind of watched the Derby. But I got to know Del Carroll II. Mm-hmm. Very well, and a lot of my foundation of anything I know about the game came from Del Carroll, from just walking the shed row with Del and him being incredibly generous with me. And there's a very funny story involving Funnyside and Midway Road, winning, being the exacta in the Preakness, because when I saw that Neil Howard had entered Midway Road, I mean, everybody, you knew Funnyside was going to win that Preakness, because there was no way Jose Santos was going to win by a margin because of the bullshit from the Miami Herald.
Yep.
And the idiotic controversy.
Yeah.
But as I looked through the field, I saw that there's a Farish in there. I said, this is interesting. I started going back. When was the last time Mr. Farish had a horse in the Preakness? 2000, 99, 98, 97, 96, 95, 94, 93, 92, 91. The last horse he had run in the Preakness was BBB.
Wow.
So I called Del. I said, Del, I said, this Midway Road, he's an allowance horse. I said, would he run? He said, no way. He said, unless Farish, because that's how we got BBB in the race, Dad called Mr. Farish and said, he's doing great. It's going to come up wet. He was an absolute freak in the wet. And he said he'd run the week before.
Yeah.
And Mr. Farish said, if you think he can compete, run him. And they win the Preakness. And Joe's piece is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it starts out as a Preakness story, but the story is really about Red Carroll. And the fact that it comes a week after a death at Keeneland.
Yeah.
Is unbelievable because of the circumstance involving sport and life, a notorious rogue. And, I mean, Del Carroll was as good a horseman on horseback. He was one of the greatest polo players in American polo history. And for him, to be killed, in a fall by sport and life. I mean, it's one of those just amazing, incredible, impossible stories.
Oh, the so many layers to that story that Joe wrote. Yeah, I encourage everybody to find it. Mid-Atlantic Thoroughbred. Joe, he did the other day that he might have responded to you or somebody. He said, it could have been 10,000 words. There were so many different angles I could have taken or directions I could have gone. And I sort of misread the quote, and I actually thought it was 10,000 words. I read the story, I edited it, it came across my desk, maybe not the first time, but probably Sean read it first, Joe sent it to me. And I really had to do a double, I thought it probably was 10,000 words, it was that good. It was one of those stories that, you get done with it and you're like, man, that was, and then I look at the word count, I'm like, whoo, that was long. It was not 10,000, but it was still a long piece. But
it reads, it's a breeze. I mean,
I thought it was great.
It's incredible. I haven't had a chance. I did tweet it out. I think.
Yeah,
I did. I can lose track.
It's amazing. And we're very fortunate that we have, the opportunity and the space to kind of do pieces like that, which really hits right in Joe's wheelhouse to do work like that. And, not only is he doing stories like that, he's also kind of putting the whole magazine together. He's dealing with me and
that's a job in itself.
Yeah, I don't know how he handles that. So he's glad not to be here at the Derby. He's revving up for Old Hilltop, where we'll be in a couple weeks. So that'll be exciting. But we got to get through this weekend.
Let's get through the weekend and let's get some Tom Law opinions. Derby Oaks, let's go there, and anything else you got to fill in the blanks.
What's funny, I got here and I guess I forget every year. When you get on the grounds, you run into people, colleagues, horsemen, fans, friends, whoever. Everybody wants to know who your Derby horse is, and I'm like, I forgot. I need to have an answer, and I didn't really have an answer, and I want to see the horses first. I'm not the greatest judge of horses. I don't think I could go to a sale and pick out like who's going to be the best horses if I didn't have the
luckily nobody's asking
catalog pages. No one's ever asked me to. No. The only time I did the best turned out award one time with Bill Graves from Fasig, he wanted me to do it for him, and it was Ben's Cat was running at Pimlico, and I picked Ben's Cat out, so Bill was proud, and I was glad to make Bill proud. He was a longtime friend and a great guy, but I still like to kind of see him. I like to just get my impression. So much different watching him on TV. So it's been great to be out the last several mornings. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, today. Love the training window where you can see the Oaks and Derby horses. Zandon is obviously the horse that seems to be the, not only is he the favorite, but he's kind of become the buzz, kind of wise guy horse, but, physically pretty awesome. Gets over the ground really well and, comes to the race with the perfect preps. He's running all the right races, in my opinion. I really like Cyberknife as well at a price. I like a couple price horses. I like Cyberknife. Just like the progression, and he's run well here. Loved his Arkansas Derby, at a good price. And Brad, and of course, Florent have teamed up and done some great things. And I think Messier is another horse. I think he really needed that last race.
It's true, the missed time. Jay Pribman though said something today that really is a little distressing, or an alarming, because I also think from a style wise and Johnny and the way Johnny might take the race by the lapels, losing ground in the stretch in two of those three losses is a legit concern, and Jay, I thought that was a point well made.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, the last race, not crazy because I'm not a big Taba fan.
It just seems impossible. It just seems like such a crazy
That can happen.
Improbable.
He can win. If he wins, I lose. You know, Al Stahl and I were joking about that the other day, talking about several horses. He's like, if he wins, I lose. You know, yeah, you mentioned Johnny. You know, I think Johnny probably feels a little stung about the whole Medina Spirit thing. I know he was. The fact he talked after the Breeders' Cup Classic last year in the walkway going back, and he was very adamant about, like, I was on the best horse. I feel like maybe he feels maybe a little bit slighted, and, you know, Johnny doesn't need an edge. He's already got the edge. He's the man. So,
well, Johnny at the same time, he had one that got, you know, taken out from under him.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember, he also got the gift mount on Animal Kingdom left field.
That's right.
So
he
got one by the hand of God, and he got one by the hand of the vet.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Lost one.
And then I'm rooting for Classic Causeway because Brian Lynch is a great guy. He's
there it
fun.
Is, folks. Tom Law is done with us. This will be the last appearance that, no, he actually has looked very good. He really has.
And I love
really
it because has. When he came back in, all you read on the Twitter and all these experts, everybody said, oh, well, that's the first horse I'm going to throw out. And I thought, oh, that's your winner right there.
It'll be interesting.
Marcus
Hirsch said the last horse I expected to come here and be impressed with physically is Classic Causeway.
Well,
but he looked good. I you know,
yeah.
You, to me, it's never a good sign when the trainer doesn't want to run. I mean, that
true.
You know, and I don't begrudge these owners. They're older. It's you know, it's not like a Seth Klarman,
yeah,
who has the luxury of you know, looking at early voting and saying, you know, do we have a chance? Yes, yeah. But let's do what we did with cloud computing. And Seth Klarman's going to have, you know, five or six candidates next year. It's a different scenario with these owners.
Agreed. Why not? You know, they're here. Brian's stable in Kentucky.
Exactly.
You know, the
horse
is
running out of his own stall. All that trite nonsense.
Draw a line through the last everything, right? We'll see.
All right. So Zandon, Cyberknife, Messier, Classic Causeway.
As of today. I'm not
That's not the way this works.
That's how I'm doing it. That's how I'm doing it.
What about what
the Oaks today?
It's
fun. We do work for the New York Thoroughbred Breeders today, so I spent time with the Venti Valentine guys, the owners and breeders.
She's being completely ignored.
Cool story.
She's
being
completely ignored.
I know. I'm warming up to her. I've liked what I've seen.
I loved her, and then she was forced to take that lead. Manny Franco kind of inherited the mantle in the Gazelle, and it isn't necessarily her. You know, her. The thing is, you also don't want to get, you know, run past the way Nostalgic ran past her.
And the Nostalgic's a player in here.
She has looked very good, and you're going to get you're going to get that 15-1.
Yeah.
If you like anybody other than the big four,
mm-hmm,
you're absolutely in position to have a huge score.
We just named two that aren't in the big four.
So Desert Dawn interests me, and Cocktail Moments has been the Philly version of Crown Pride every day.
I agree.
And the last three mornings, she has relaxed tremendously for McPeak and for the rider.
You know, I think Kathleen O and Echo Zulu are the two of the big four, I think, that I do favor. You know, Kathleen O's looked great all week, and Echo Zulu, again, you know, the speed is such a major factor. Obviously needed the last race. And Hidden, you know, people are like, oh, what about that last race? You know, da-da-da. Maybe she doesn't want to go that far. But Hidden Connection's nice, too, and I put her in the picture as well. Love to see a little Raylu Gutierrez in there, a little Cortland State man like me. So that'd be pretty cool. Central New York guy, you know, New York guy. See, I'm all over the New York guys, so. Good to represent down here.
I love it. I love it.
Well, I gave you a lot in there.
No, that's great. That's all right. That's who did I miss?
I'm picking Echo Zulu on top.
Echo Zulu on top.
Yep.
All right.
T Valentine in the second spot.
Okay.
Kathleen O in the third spot.
Got it.
Yeah. There's your try.
All right.
Or triple, as we call
that,
it.
That's fine. I call it triple.
All my friends do too.
People look at me funny.
All my friends do too.
Just don't call it a trifector.
Yeah, triactor, exactor, perfector. Yeah.
Anything else from the 2 days that's got your attention? Any just that?
Oh,
That's it feels like sometimes it's a throwaway question, but yet a lot of times.
I like Wicked Halo running back in the eight bells. That's tomorrow. That's Friday.
I like it. All right.
I mean, favored last time.
I like it.
It's supposed to be a wet track. I think she'll be okay on the wet track. Change to Irad Ortiz. That's
nice.
Never a bad thing.
Good. I'd like that.
For Steve. You know, I mean, Steve could have a big weekend. We didn't even talk about him. I mean, you know.
Well, how about Dan Silver unearthing that stat? Did you see that this morning?
No.
Dan Silver, who's got a good opinion.
Sure.
Bets with both hands.
Yep.
Dan says, Asmussen Barn hasn't won a race in Kentucky since November.
I heard that. I did hear that. So I did see that.
Yeah.
You know, I like the horses in the Pathé Mile this
Saturday.
Yeah,
nobody's talked about this enough.
Coming back.
Although, if Jack Christopher runs back to his potential, how does he come back?
Yeah, I like the, maybe. He might need one. He's good. I like the two-turn to one-turn. Cut back in that kind of race, not back to the mile. So Major General, Papa Cap, horses like that have been kind of like they wanted Triple Crown with them. Can't quite get there. Let's turn them back and then get the mile. Always a kind of a fun race, you know. The American Turf, you know, portfolio company, Chad Brown, another one. Side Dog by Slumber, little New York sire in there, like him. And then, yeah, the Aloha West, man, that's my man. I gave him out all week last year at the Breeders' Cup and had a nice score. He's the only horse I really liked, so he's coming back. Love the cat.
I think it's a tough place to come back.
It is, from the rail. But
Aloha West.
7/8 on the comeback's a hard one. For
all right. Well, you managed to. They're waving to you.
They are.
No, they're not. I'm just kidding.
I have 5 minutes.
Boy, are you? But you said Nicole Russo said I'm on the board. I can't. I need time before the meeting. She said I. So I figured you had dead timing issues.
Well, I prepare, you know, in advance. So I did that yesterday.
And, wow.
You know, I'm not a last minute guy. So
well,
I was here. I've been
that
here
makes
all week.
One of us.
I've been here all week. So yeah, I'm not running up to the windows right before getting shut out.
No,
I got shut out. Like, who gets shut out any tomorrow? I mean, come on.
Oh my God.
You have ADW now. You should never get shut out.
That's true. You're right. No, that's very true.
Who waits in line? Come on.
Well, that's the funny thing about this whole argument with the 10-cent super. I mean, we did have the 10-cent super when nobody was here,
right,
and everybody was thrilled, and now we have to go back to the $1.
Yeah.
The serious super players, though, they actually don't mind, you know, netting the 10-cent play out, because it takes a lot of the value out of the super. I mean, the super originally was actually a high volume, a high increment bet.
Well, my only other tip for the weekend is is to go to Cherokee Park. I went for a nice run
I drove through Cherokee Park.
Lovely
yesterday.
Place. Beautiful neighborhoods right around there. Had a nice run on the trails yesterday, about 4 miles yesterday afternoon. It was great. I'm feeling it today, though.
Well, you are a running fool. You are the Forrest Gump of the National Turf Writers and Broadcasters.
I got to run off the IPA. It's that simple.
Tom Law, everybody. Saratoga TL. And I will survey Clancy and Clancy, the famous Irish accountants. We will survey them for their picks as well. Tom, you have my proxy for the election.
Okay. Great. All right? I'm going to nominate you, so you're good.
Actually, I take that back. Send me the list. Send me the nominees.
I'm going to put you on one of the committees we're going to form.
We also haven't formed the project committee
We gotta do that.
That I want done,
yes.
Which is the historic preservation
Of the archives at various tracks that are now closing.
Yes, and to make sure that valuable history of the game does not end up in dumpsters.
Yeah, lost forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
All right?
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Tom Law, everybody. Saratoga TL, the one and only. And speaking of one and only, you're going to absolutely... Boy, it's old home week here on, on At the Races, because Steve Askin is going to join us momentarily, and Casey's going to be very surprised that I'm going to pull off a technologic miracle of sorts. And while Kay is getting Steve Haskin, and the most important part of the Haskin visit involves the incredible circumstance that now finds Steve Haskin, formerly of New Jersey. This is a development that is as big a news as any we've had in racing media. No longer of Hamilton Square, New Jersey. It's now the Connecticut Haskins. It's the town and country Haskins. Steve Haskin, good morning.
Good morning from sunny Connecticut. I can't spell.
Good point. Actually, it's going to take you. It's going to take you a little bit. Pretty funny. Where did you guys end up? I never heard the final decision.
We're in the lovely confines of Rocky Hill, which is
nice.
Sort of, it's just south of Hartford. It was next town over from Wethersfield, where Mandy and Wes lives with their 4-year-old and their 2-week-old daughter Lily. So we're close by now, and we're settling into our condo. I'm looking out my back window and back porch at a beautiful golf course, which is literally a sand trap 20 yards from my back window. So I expect a few fours and a few balls coming flying into my porch. But it's right out here. I'm just looking at it. It's nothing but green, and there's geese and groundhogs and chipmunks and birds, and it's delightful out here. And we were living here for two days when we had the fire department here. George's sister had come to help unpack, and we come back from dinner, and like the smoke alarm is not going off, but you know when the battery's low, it's like beeps every 5 seconds.
Yeah,
and it's coming, but we just put new batteries in it, and we couldn't figure out where is it coming from. We couldn't figure it out at all, and it was like we were going crazy. I thought maybe the place was haunted or something. So finally, it just would not go off. We had a new neighbor from here come down. And finally, what happened is that we had taken the carbon monoxide detector and put it on the table, and that's what was beeping. So I called them. I couldn't shut it off. I didn't know how to shut it off. So I called the fire department, and I said, just tell me what to do so I can shut it off. He says, no, that's okay. We'll be there. Like in 3 minutes, one of these gigantic hook and ladders comes with the lights flashing, and then there's a car behind it with a flash flashing, and then the police are in the car. And so all the neighbors are saying, well, who the heck moved in here? So they come in here, they made us come out with it. Meanwhile, I got to know everybody from the fire department. They were great guys. As it turns out, it was just the carbon monoxide detector. So, anyway, so we've discovered incredible Italian restaurants, a Chinese restaurant. We got a bakery here, Patty Cakes, which is which not only is the greatest bakery, but they have the greatest pizza all day. The kind I like, with no mozzarella, it's just cheese and Parmesan square pizza. Oh God, it's unbelievable. So we have discovered a lot of eateries that are within literally 5 minutes from here. Even though we're out in the wilds, we're very close to, Cromwell Avenue, which has everything you need. So we're getting used to it. It feels kind of crazy, but what are you going to do?
Steve, that considering that you didn't want to leave New Jersey, it feels like it hasn't taken you long to adjust. Steve, do me a favor. Casey, I think Casey's going to call you back. There's some distortion on your phone, so he's going to try to get a cleaner line, all right?
Okay.
All right, do that. Bring him back and try to get that sharper. And in the meantime, Lenny Shulman is standing by and listening in, but he's not. Actually, you can't listen in, Lenny. I thought I had come up with a very clever solution, but I realized you can hear me, but you can't hear Steve.
Well, thank God, because I thought I was having a stroke.
Well, you know, for while we wait for him to come back, and while I try to figure out how, I guess I'll have to be like an interpreter. All I heard for months is I don't want. This is the house the children grew up or the child grew up in. I have the birds in the backyard. It sounds like he's been in Rocky Hill for 72 hours, and it's the greatest place on earth. Wait till he discovers the dinosaur park.
The dinosaur park is literally 3 minutes from our place.
I guess he discovered the dinosaur park.
I think, you know, they had to do the Mitt Romney with him. Joan had to put him in a dog kennel and put him on the roof of the car to get him out of New Jersey. I think she was dragging him in the back of the car. I'm not sure.
Steve, we have a problem. It might not really be a problem. You can hear Lenny, but Lenny can't hear you. And now we can't hear Steve.
What, yeah.
Yes, there you go. Now we can hear you, but you're still a little distorted.
Well, yeah, everybody knows that, but what about my voice?
it's a very harsh reception on that phone line.
Right.
What is Steve, we got the problem here is that Lenny can't hear you, so I'll just have to be an intermediary between the two of you.
Okay.
Well,
better,
we just told you
to hear. Lenny than no Lenny.
Well, and Lenny, I did say to people that one of the reasons that I'd originally thought you'd be sitting here, and so you'd be able to hear Steve. We can't put two people on the new phone system line together, but then you ended up on the vet list. How you feeling?
I feel great. You should have bought the better Dixie cups with you this year, Steve. I keep telling you that. I feel great. Thank you. It's all good. The one positive is I can't taste my own cooking now, which actually is a really good thing.
It obviously, with that reference, you know that Lenny has had a very late bout with COVID. It was like you're like the last person in America that got it.
Yeah, I made the mistake of going to see an old friend who I hadn't seen in 2 years. Since COVID started, and so we had lunch a few weeks ago, and he's a wonderful man, very prominent in the horse business, and we had a great lunch, but unfortunately later that day he called to say he wasn't feeling well, and bang, smash, zoom, there you go.
Unbelievable.
Next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire.
Jeez, unbelievable. Well, so you're no... So no Derby for you. All right, that's so be it. Haskins, you know, the Haskins.
No Derby for me either.
Well, the nice thing is that it's going to be on television this year.
You know what? I actually plan to watch it. I plan to watch it on my new TV.
This has got to be. It's a whole new lifestyle. Steve, how about some Derby thoughts?
Well, it's been a pretty wild. Ride from day one. A lot of changes, a lot of newcomers, and the way I look at it, you can go down and pick anybody from the top eight or so. After that, I'm not that crazy about any of the real long shots. I think they're kind of slow, but, you know, I've been, the two horses I've been on all year have been Smile, Happy, and Zandon,
and I'm going to stick with both of them. I actually I got a personal attachment to Zandon because last year I started a new feature on Secretariat.com called Derby Sleepers, and I decided to just pick a horse coming out of a maiden race that first started their life and see if they have, you know, possible Derby potential where people can follow them from a baby and tell their backstory from when they sold and talk to people, and people can follow them from day one and see what happens. And the first column I did was on Command Performance, losing a maiden race, and then he goes and runs second in the Champagne. The second horse I did was Zandon, and I wrote the whole column on him back, and it was on October 18th, saying that off his maiden race, six furlongs, that looks like a Derby horse, and now he's the Derby favorite. So it's really hard to go off with that, but I tell you, from what I've seen in the morning, God, his workout was absolutely sensational. He does everything right. He's just a gorgeous looking horse. And I can't fault him. He's got tactical speed, or he can come from out of it. He can weave his way through horses. He's got a good turn of foot. He's got the pedigree. So I'm going to stick with him. And I know a lot of people have given up on Smile Happy, even though he was a Derby favorite in the future wager every week. And I had him number one, like, for the first 10 weeks. But a lot of people don't like the fact that he got passed in a stretch last time and has lost both his starts. And normally I don't like when a horse gets passed in his final prep. But to me, he had every reason to. It didn't bother me at all. People have to forget that they gave him a pretty easy race in the Risen Star. Corey Lannery never, ever asked him to run. I'm saying, what are you doing? He's just sitting on him on the turn. And by the time he did, it was too late. He still ran second. And he had an issue last year, and they didn't want to do too much with him going a mile and eighth first time out off a layoff. And then in the Bluegrass Stakes, which is the race where he needed, he drew post 10. He gets hung five wide on the first turn. And Emmanuel's loose on the lead. Lannery moves him up early to chase him. And he's running right behind him, and he puts Emmanuel away, and he opens up a clear lead at the eighth pole, and he gets beat by the eventual favorite in there, and after the race he drank a lot of water, which means that he really needed this race. He came out of it a bit tired. And it means that he needed that race, and I think he should be much fitter now, third race off the layoff. If it comes up wet, he's got the best slop reading I've seen, maybe ever. He's got the most incredible slop pedigree I've ever seen. I know he's going to get the mile and a quarter. And from the Derby favorite, Mike Pitaglia makes him 20-1, which I don't get that at all. So if he's going to be 8, 9, 10, 12, even higher or anything like that, he could be a big overlay in here, so I'm sticking with him. Those are my two top horses.
Nice. So Zandon and Smile Happy, and I've been, what I've been doing, because Lenny's listening in. Actually, Lenny, did you cleverly go listen to pull the show up? Is that what you did?
No, I have no idea what's going on.
Well, that was very funny. I was paraphrasing Steve. I was sending Lenny texts. So Zandon and Smile Happy for Steve. What are you doing in here, Lenny, in this Derby?
Yes, so I'm sorry to hear that. To me, this comes down to how powerful is the curse of the Bluegrass Stakes. There should have been five or six Bluegrass winners to win the Kentucky Derby over the last 30 years. There have been none. So as great as I thought Zandon looked here at Keeneland, and as much as I want to pick him, and as much as I think he's the best horse coming into this race, to me, it's the power of the curse of the Bluegrass Stakes. That's what this boils down to. Having said that, I would love to see Chad Brown get a Derby and finally throw off the yoke of, he's only a turf trainer, even though he's won the Preakness already. So I think that would be great. The horse looks just amazing. I thought his race in the Bluegrass was amazing. Having said that, I think the two California horses, or you know, the horses from California, are going to be up against it here, just because in a 20-horse field, that's usually a good race card out at Santa Anita. So they're going to have to acclimate to having that many horses around them. I think, let's face it, you know, there's one trainer in this world that knows how to get a horse up to this race, head and shoulders above everyone, and he's not here. So I think it's a crapshoot. I think the eye test tells me this is not a particularly great and great achieving crop of horses in this race. I think there's very few that can win it, and to me, I think Zandon's the best one.
There we go. So Zandon, Steve, Zandon as well for Lenny. So you two land on the same horse, which is not completely unusual.
It's very unusual. Let me say one thing. I'm about to add something, by the way, about this Bluegrass curse and the Wood Memorial curse. It has absolutely nothing to do with the race. It's just a race. It's not the race that's cursed. It's the horses that run in it. It's just they're not good enough. Let's put it this way. Just because 10 or 15 horses that ran in the Bluegrass Stakes were not good enough to win the Derby does not mean that the horses running in it this year are not good enough because of the Bluegrass. It's a mile and an eighth prep race. There's no reason why the Bluegrass itself should be a deterrent to any horse winning the Kentucky Derby or the Wood Memorial. It just, the wrong horses are running it. They just weren't good enough. That's all. That particular year, the best horses came from other races. So if a horse is good enough, they can win. I mean, I think Mordonigal can easily win the Derby. And, you know, people are going to look, well, he's got the inside. He's going to have to wave his way through. But look, sometimes the simplest things are right before your eyes. The horse came home in the last 3/8 in the Wood Memorial, 35-2, the last 8th and 11-4. I know it was a fast track, but it was also a speed bias racetrack that he overcame, and he caught a very good horse that was loose on the lead. So, believe me, it's not going to be a surprise at all if Mordonigal wins. I think he's got a big shot in here, too. So, forget the curse. And that's nonsense.
Well, guys, let me get... you know, considering, well, Smile Happy is going to be a decent price, Steve, as a price candidate. Lenny, who's your price horse to put in with a Zandon?
I wish I could give you one. I don't think I don't have one. I must tell you, I am not sure there are a lot of horses that could win this race, and I don't even know. If giving out advice, I would go back and look at who has proven himself on and off track, and that's who I would pick, because I don't know if the weather report has been updated from what I've seen, but it sure looks like a lot of rain in the forecast for tomorrow and then some more for Saturday. So any pedigree line or any horse that's proven themselves on and off track is who I would throw in there.
Very good. All right, Steve, how about you? One big price.
Let me just say, being Lenny couldn't get out of that and couldn't go over the horse, I'll give you two of them. My long shot horses in here are Simplification, only
that's
because
mine.
I think on his best day, that horse is capable of anything. He's got some crazy races. You don't know if he wants to be on the lead, if he wants to be running 10th, but he can do both. The last race is a throwout race because he got caught in the middle of a three-horse speed duel because they were afraid that the Classic Causeway was going to get out there by himself, and it was bad strategy. But he showed he can come from off the pace. His race in the Mucho Macho Man was strong. I think he's going to be an overlooked horse. And the other one I'll take a shot with is Tis the Bomb. If he can handle a kickback, I love the way he looks in the morning. He's got a huge closing kick. And I know Kenny McPeak was high on him from day one. And I just think that coming off the synthetic surface, if he can handle that kickback or maybe get away from it, I think he's got a shot to close and run a pretty good race. I know a lot of people are going to get on the Japanese horse because I got to tell you, that horse is he just looked awesome in the morning.
Spectacular. He's been amazing.
God, everything he does, I mean, geez, the way he runs, I mean, he just does everything perfect. He's got a beautiful stride, big, long, extended stride. And I mean, to work 2:46 halves in 3 days before the race, he works as if it was nothing. I don't know how good this was, but boy, you got to respect the Japanese for what they've done all over the world. And this one scares me. He could be a very, very good horse.
It's really been quite a show put on by Crown Pride. Going to have to get ready to wrap here quickly. Lenny, who you like tomorrow in the Phillies?
Can I give a different race?
Yeah, of course.
The turf sprint interests me a lot. There's a horse called the Learjet. Lately, but I'd like the comeback in the Shakertown. I like the quick turnaround. Good enough to have beaten Golden Pal at
yep.
Royal Ascot when they were 2 year olds.
Yep.
Big price, and I look for that one to come back and run a big one in the turf. I'm also very interested to see Jack Christopher run Saturday. I don't know if anybody's buzzing about him or not, but such a promising 2 year old. I don't know if they've just missed time with him or decided that he wasn't a distance horse. I assume they missed time with him. But really looking forward to seeing how he looks coming back.
Lenny, thank you so much. Feel better, and we'll see you soon, and we'll talk soon. Len Shulman, everybody. And Steve, very quickly, your Oaks Philly.
I got to go with Nest. Only the Ashland was just such a powerful race. She looks like she's getting so good
yep.
right now. But it certainly wouldn't surprise me. You know, everybody's going to forget about Secret Oath. If she's 6-1 like she is in the morning line, I still think she's a very special filly. But boy, this is a tough race to handicap. God, there are a lot of good horses in here.
Steve, this was great. Even with the phone distortion, but. Terrific to connect and enjoy it. We'll catch up post Derby. We'll get some post Derby thoughts next week.
You got it, Steve. You take care.
Steve Haskin, everybody, and of course Secretariat.com, and super. I was glad we got that in, even with some audio issue. Let me get the Rogers, the father and son team. This may be your last. I said earlier today, this may be your last Derby. Come over on this side. And because it feels like Davis is getting ready to graduate from Thurby to Oaks, right? Darren had said that you know, there was a chance you were going to bypass Thurby for an Oaks appearance. Good morning, Davis and Darren Rogers, one of the great long running segments of Derby Week.
You've hit the nail right on the head, because unlike previous years, the now 16-year-old is straying on his own. He's coming up with his own picks, his own selections, and so he watched the horses this morning. I have no idea the direction he's going to go in either race.
Interesting.
So this is good. I'm looking forward to this segment as much as you are.
I love it. Davis, first of all, I watch more highlights of you than I watch of SportsCenter.
He posts everything on Facebook. So.
Well, he's got the great, the most recent one was pretty funny. The run, Davis!
Yeah, I thought it was foul. I really thought it was foul, and then everybody just started screaming at me, run, and I was like, oh. So.
You're having a good year, though, right? You're making
yeah.
good contact?
I am. Yes. I feel very confident at the plate right now.
Nice. Nice. And I hear confident behind the wheel of the car.
Yes. 11 more days.
Wow.
And I get my restricted.
Nice.
I'll be driving on my own.
I was going to say, now, what, in Kentucky, what does that mean? Do you have to drive with an adult? Or
16 and a half, he can drive on his own with one other individual in the car. Then when he's 17, it's all bets are off, whatever. Right now he's got his permit, so he has to drive with us, an adult in the car.
Right.
But in 11 days, we have the hashtag Pray for Louisville.
I'm a good driver.
He's a very good driver.
He unsolicited, without you sitting in front, he said that the other day when I said, wow, Davis is driving this.
Let me rephrase, for a 16-year-old, I'm a good driver.
There you go.
I can't say I'm a good driver until I'm older.
That's an interesting qualifier, actually.
It is. It kind of scares me, doesn't it?
In Kentucky, do you have, because it's such an agricultural state, do you have the agricultural driver's license stuff?
You're asking the guy who lives in the city. I have no idea.
In Connecticut,
I would imagine they probably do.
In Connecticut, you could start driving. If you were on the farm, I think you could start driving at 12, farm equipment, and you could start driving trucks and such and whatever at 14.
Before you can drive a car?
Yes. It was crazy.
Love it.
And when I was growing up in Connecticut, you could get your permit, your learner's permit, at 14, and you could drive with your parents
I'm nervous enough, and you know, his mother Stephanie and I, we're both nervous enough knowing at 16. By the way, he's a very good driver. I cannot imagine him at 15, 14, 13, let alone 12, driving a tractor. But
pretty fun.
No, he's a very responsible kid. Very proud of him. Good student. Good athlete.
And tall.
And taller. And the question is now, is he a good handicapper?
Well, and who's the horse? If you don't like Davis's horse, you don't like money.
Are we going Derby or are we going to...
Start with Derby. Everybody wants Derby first.
I'm going to go with the different turn. It's kind of a long shot. I'm liking Tiz the Bomb.
Wow. You and Ed DeRosa.
Oh, boy.
You and right? Isn't that who DeRosa? I think DeRosa.
I don't know, but that's a daily double, right there.
I think DeRosa likes. In fact, I've got. By the way, that Dan Silver stat I mentioned. It wasn't Dan Silver's stat. It was DeRosa's stat. The Dan Silver sent it to me, so I assumed that it was Dan's, but it turns out it was.
So what do you like about Tiz the Bomb?
I don't know. This morning he looked pretty good. I felt he had a good workout. He didn't look very stiff. He looked loose and had a good jog and strut in. And I don't like being on the Zandon train with this with this one.
Can't see. It's on radio.
Who else?
He thinks I'm a chalk-eating weasel.
No, you shop around. There's no telling where you might end up.
Mm-hmm. It's a good horse. But
Who rides him?
Tiz the Bomb caught my eye.
Who rides Tiz the Bomb?
Oh, Brian.
Yeah, your boy Brian Hernandez.
My boy Brian.
Brian Hernandez Jr., who knows his way around this oval, and if you want somebody work their way around.
So you're not concerned about kickback and the horses, you know, translating to dirt or anything? Okay. That's my man.
All right. All right. Yep. Good job. Well, who else with? That's your pick, period.
My pick,
all right,
period.
All right. That's all. All right, so we're just...
At 30-1, that's all you need.
That's true. That actually is true. And as you've known, for those of you that have listened to Davis grow up and have seen the pictures, the annual picture, the portrait of father and son, you've seen Davis grow up right before your eyes at the Derby. And if you don't like Davis's pick, you don't like money.
That's true. He has a hell of a record.
A very strong record.
So Tiz the Bomb.
Yeah.
All right. How about the Oaks?
Cocktail moments.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's all the industry needs is a McPeak Oaks
and
Derby
Oaks
double
and a McPeak Oaks Derby double.
Oh my God!
I didn't get a strong look at all the Oaks horses this morning.
She looks terrific,
but Cocktail Moments caught my eye.
I was more
focused on the Derby horses than I was with the Oaks, just because I hadn't got a good look at all of them before this week. But out of all the Oaks horses I saw, Cocktail Moments caught my eye.
And who rides Cocktail Moments?
Corey.
His boy.
And he's, boy Corey, you know what? We saw Boo Boo Clark win an Oaks. A guy like Corey Lannery winning an Oaks would bring down the house here.
Yes, it would. It would be great. Corey is, you know, admittedly, I think, you know, he's at the, you know, tail end of his career. He's not aggressively working horses in the morning these days, riding for the people that, give him regular opportunities. And McPeak is one of those guys. Between if Davis's Oaks Derby McPeak double hits, First of all, I think you'll be able to finance all 4 years of your college, which I'm happy for, by the way, as a racetrack publicist. But that would be one heck of a party in Lake Forest, wouldn't
it? This is the odds for now. They can go up, they can go down. Who knows?
That's true. That's true. Once they hear your pick, you never know.
If they hear my pick, the odds are going to go down. Everybody, if you don't like bet my horse, then you don't like winning.
There it is. Can I get the official Darren Rogers?
As you know, when we started at the invocation, I said it's a 2-horse race. After watching the final breeze from Zandon, combined with the way he has galloped exiting that workout with energy, 10 is Zen.
Wow.
10 is Zen. I'm all in on Zandon, and I think this horse is going to be getting the perfect trip with the way the draw worked out. I thought it was unfortunate for Epicenter to be drawn in the 3-hole. He's got the speed to get out of a jackpot, but there's other speed to his outside and other horses that are going to, jostle for position early on. With Zandon breaking from that 10-hole and Flavian Prott aboard, I just think this horse is going to get a great trip. And if he runs to the way he's shown in the mornings, I think you're going to see a horse that stands out above the rest.
Interesting. All right. Anybody else you want to include with him?
I'm going to look at a number. Obviously Epicenter, Crown Pride. If you took away the JPN and you knew that he ran 8,000 miles away, that's a horse that's tipping his hand toward a big effort.
Yeah.
The problem is that everybody has kind of seen that, and I think he's going to be shorter than he probably should be. I'm going to have to look at the tote board. Zandon is going to be not only a win bet for me, but also a single in multi-race wagers.
All right.
So you're looking at it from, a vertical standpoint, where I'm not. I'm more looking at horizontal. From a vertical standpoint, it's a little bit of a dog's breakfast to me, where it's all over the place.
That's a great point.
And depending on how the betting goes, who takes money, who doesn't, I think would dictate how I would play any verticals. But horizontally, I'm going to take a stand. And you know what? Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. But this horse, to me, I've gotten more confident as every day's gone on.
He's
can't even talk. It show you how good this horse might be. Not even a 16-year-old son will follow in his father's footsteps.
I never said it was a bad horse. I never said it was a bad horse. And I said that he looked good.
No, you didn't.
I said he looked good, but yeah. I just like Tis the Mom a little better.
That's okay. So anyway, that's how we see it.
And you can call me out if he wins.
Oh, I will.
You can talk all the crap you
talk
want.
Talk trash.
I won't need to talk trash, son. I'll just wave those $100 bills
exactly,
in your face.
Exactly.
Say, it could have been you. It could have been you.
Where'd you find? What's your final call on the Oaks?
I think Shahama, and I, you know what, and I have a handicapping factor that I never thought I'd use.
Yeah,
I've just fallen in love with that White Blaze. That's not the reason.
No, but she's flashy
she
out there.
Is just. Yep. It reminds me of Sand Pit. You remember Sand Pit for Richard
God.
Mandela?
Look at you.
Well, it's just a big Blaze.
Did you have a poster of her on your room?
No. Anything like that. But anyway, just watching her, and then she's just a beauty. I mean, she really is. So I've been suckered in by her a little bit. But from a price, she's trained well.
Yep.
I don't know what she beat overseas, but the way she did it. And then the other thing, I am going to say this. If the price is right on Echo Zulu, because everybody I know that I respect is going in there trying to beat her. He is an undefeated champion 2-year-old. And if you don't think Steve Asmussen can get her ready to go a mile and eighth, not a mile and a quarter, a mile and eighth off of one prep, I'm sorry. This filly's going to be ready to roll, and she is going to have to move forward, but I fully expect her to. And Shoot, I mean, the way everybody's talking, I think we might be able to get 5-1.
If that's the case,
I'm sorry, I'm probably going to go that direction instead of Shahan.
No, I understand, and that's what's so interesting. Actually, this is certainly the most interesting Oaks in your tenure.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great group.
It's amazing. And you know, it's funny. I keep thinking back. I should pull up the chart. Todd Pletcher said, when we talked about it a few weeks ago after Mo Donegal, he said it reminds him of the Princess of Sylmar year.
Yep.
And there were 3 or 4 short-priced logicals, mm-hmm, just like this that were dominating the conversation, and Princess upset them all. And this, of course, will trigger another Ed Stanko.
The Ed Stanko Pennsylvania bread.
There'll be a tweet. There'll be a text in a minute.
They were a fun
That's
group.
An interesting. That's. A, I thought that was a. That stuck in my mind the minute he said it, because it was really a very similar scenario with a handful of, you know, seemingly obvious players, and you ended up with a significant price winning. And there's some very good. I keep bringing
Davis
up.
Davis has one of them. Cocktail Moments.
Cocktail Moments is on my tickets without fail. I've talked about her for 2 weeks. How many of those pins do you got?
Two.
Talking about the bomb pins.
Somebody was handing them out this morning. I went to go grab one, and he handed me 3. So
I love it.
Saving them for the ladies.
You know it. Yeah. For
they,
sure.
They're big. They're big capital. You bet.
They are big capital.
Let me get the annual photo. Let's get the famed, because Davis has grown up on this radio show, and we have annual photos to prove it. There it is. Davis and Darren Rogers, as always, out of this world. Guys, thank you, and best of luck this weekend. Best of luck, Darren, to you and to the staff and the organization, as Oaks and Derby is upon us, literally. Half an hour to noon. Actually, 25 minutes to noon. And is Shapiro coming back? Did I overstay the welcome? We'll get Scott Shapiro back here. Put that headset on. You can take the stick, whatever, the stick mic. Well, you need the headset. You're going to, there we go. And those dulcet tones, the one and only.
I'm back.
Charles Simon. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I'm back in Louisville.
Back in the Ville.
I'm back in on the Steve Dick Show. And it felt like I was trained by one of the Japanese trainers getting in here, because I had to walk about 14 miles between parking lots. And
did you do figure eight?
No, I actually did figure 16s. I was totally lost, but I found myself. I wandered around the Derby Museum for a little while. It's nice.
Well, you realize what this building was, right?
Yeah.
The old building.
Exactly.
And they refashioned it, remodeled it, and it, you know, it's funny because you can appreciate this. I brought this up the other day, maybe yesterday. I don't remember with whom. There's like only these little vestiges of the original building that you know, anybody that was around at any time, when you walk in the clubhouse gate with the uneven brick, you know, parquet floor, and you know, with the, you know, sort of that wainscot, you know, walling and where the windows are. I mean, there's literally just little tiny spots. The hallway between the clubhouse into the grandstand,
yeah,
where those little table insets where they put the curtains, like the you know, the most secretive Derby seating anywhere in the racetrack that goes back, you know, forever.
Who's behind the curtain? Used to be the question.
It's you open up. It'll be, you know, it'll be Nelly from Taylor, you know, from Taylor Boulevard and her family,
or Gronk.
That's true. It could be. It could be flashing, you know, flashing cheese. Scott Shapiro has set in. We're going to reach Barry. We're going to get Barry Spears on for the last segment with Chuck, and we'll do a little. Running in circles, going in circles. They'll give their their picks back and forth. But I wanted to get Shap in here, and James is doing...
Yeah, he's in my spot at the desk today. And
nice.
Maybe, I don't know, if you have time tomorrow to set up.
Oh, no, he's definitely coming in
tomorrow.
Well, you guys come early. You come in like 9:30?
Tomorrow,
last year I missed you too, right?
Yeah, tomorrow I can't. Tomorrow, Saturday, you know, but tomorrow I'm...
All right, we'll get James early.
To,
all right, so then let me hand it over to you, Scott Shapiro. Run down your key plays for the weekend.
Well, I still have a little bit of work to do on Saturday, but brought the Friday stuff, and I've got a couple things ready for Saturday, of course. But yeah, let's see here. Microphone in hand, PP's in the other. Let's start with the fourth. I know that Juju's map is going to be the clear horse to beat.
Yes.
In there for Brad Cox making the three-year-old debut, taking on older runners, which is a little bit tricky. A lot to ask, but certainly very talented. Has been training well. I think number five, Assembly Juiced, is going to be a big price and is a little bit interesting. Has run real well here at Churchill Downs. Both lifetime wins are here. The lone second is here. Second start off the bench for Kenny McPeak. And you lose Flavian Pratt, which is not great, but Vincent Chaminade is going to get you probably double the price, and this guy can ride. And I think should get a good trip here at 10-1 on the line. Maybe
right.
off the last couple of efforts, we get even better than that.
Nice.
And the slop efforts are good, Steve. You've got two wins here over the sloppy going. So there's a price option in the early pick five. And then in race five, which is the Modesty, doesn't look to be a lot of speed in here. And I know Chad Brown has two serious runners in, what am I looking at, the right PP? Yeah, Fluffy Sox. And I'm losing a page here. Bleecker Street, the undefeated filly. But I think that Curly Ruth is in the best form of her career, and I think she's going to get the jump on them just like she did at Keeneland last time out. And there's been really fewer hotter combinations in Kentucky of late than Eddie Keneally and Louis Saez. Keneally winning races in bunches well
nice.
Over 20%. So I think that she'll offer pretty fair value there in the fifth race. I think the La Troyenne, if she dares the devil all the way. I mean, do you have any creative thoughts in there?
Well, I mean, you've got to respect Pauline Sproul a little bit, but she dares the devil. They're both. Pauline Sproul we do like, actually. I think they're...
You're going to use them both as aces?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think of Battle Bling?
Actually, Nick Tamaro brought her up as a nibbler.
Okay. I mean, definitely has not run well here at Churchill, but she's a different horse, it seems like, of now. Race 7, Weyburn, I think, is an interesting option to beat Olympiad. I think Olympiad the clear horse to beat, but I thought that was a very good return race, first start for the Brendan Walsh Barn at 7 furlongs, maybe even exceeded expectations, maybe too big of an effort. We'll see, but I think he's an interesting alternative. And then in, let's move to race 9, the 8 Bells. I think Matt Araya is serious and going to be very tough to beat with that outside draw. I'm going to play her over Wicked Halo and Gerrymander underneath in the 8 Bells, of course, presented by Twin Spires. And then we go to the Twin Spires Turf Sprint, a little double Twin Spires whammy here. Chasing Artie to me, 20-1 shot.
Wow.
I think going to get the absolute right trip in this race. I think it's wide open. I don't think there's a lot of early speed in here. Gone 5.5 furlongs here over the new turf course. So far, front running types have done better on the two turn races. Only two race sample size in both two turns and one turn races. And then I think I teased you last week, Steve, and on Inside Churchill Downs as well. But I picked Nostalgic in the Kentucky Oaks.
Cut.
I think Nest is more likely. I think your filly for Shug, of course, Kathleen O, maybe more likely, but I think Nostalgic's going to get totally overlooked. So I'm going to key around her in the gimmicks, and then I think that's race 12.
It's that Fabulous Allowance.
Yes, is that the one with on the ones and twos? Yes.
Yes,
I like on the ones and twos there. I love the outside draw. This is a big filly that was still growing into herself, ran huge on debut and never got back to it. And the outside draw and the tactical speed, I think, will work perfect for on the ones and twos.
I love it. How about the Saturday Derby?
Derby, it's Zandon over Messier. I'm chalkier than I like to be in the Derby this year. I think Epicenter and Zandon are extremely likely to win. I hate to say that, but I think they're the two likeliest winners by far. I think Messier is the third most likely. Underneath, I like Guaita Barrio. I like Zozos a little bit. And I'm going to build the wagers around those five, but I think it's going to be very tough to beat the favorites. I hear a lot of chatter about it being wide open, and I have a lot of respect for the depth of the field, but I just think both of these horses are sitting on go and ready to run big races. And, you know, I think the opener, Congressman for Todd Pletcher, second start, I think is a serious racehorse. I think is a softer group than the field he faced in that Gulfstream Park. I think it was on Pegasus Day, perhaps, at January 29th, or one of those big cards there. It was a pretty good group, won by Stablemate Swing Shift. So that's the start-the-day type play with Congressman.
I love it. Who was the fifth? Zandon, Epi, Messier, Guaita Barrio, and
Zozos?
Oh, Zozos.
Zozos
that's
has
right.
a price
talked
to
about
put
Zozos.
Underneath. Yeah, and you're going to – I don't want to ruin James Scully's big hit, but he picked her – or picked him, sorry, on the Derby Work Show, so
interesting.
Yeah, so
all right. Well, he's going to get a forward trip, which that solves a lot of issues, right? Chap, best of luck.
It's great having you here. Good to get to see
Always
you
fun.
Multiple times
Always
in different
fun.
Settings, and yeah, I love it when you're here. Obviously, it means Derby time, but you being here longer than many is a great thing.
2 weeks every year, and of course, I don't have Chuck's couch, that at one time known as the Haskin couch, and I don't have Chuck's Audubon Park house to crash. But
I was Airbnb before they had Airbnb.
That's true.
Except
that's
my
true.
Rates, my rates were better.
You were Air Chihuahua.
That's right.
With the seven dogs that populated the house. Shap, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
and
thanks.
Knock 'em dead, and we'll be watching you tomorrow on the feed. And everything starts at 10:30, of course, in terms of live action tomorrow on Oaks Day, and hope we're going to get a little wet, but so be it. We're all adults. We'll dry off.
Good luck, guys.
See you.
Good
luck,
Scott Shapiro, Scott Chap, 34, everybody. And with that, let's get Barry on Barry Spears off the mute. I think he's waiting in the wings. Barry's in Florida. Chuck is here. Barry, why are you not here?
I don't know. Chuck just left me, My partner just, leaves me in Daytona just to fend for myself, I guess.
We got to make sure that someone's holding the fort down over there. We don't want to.
Yeah.
We don't want the chalk people coming down there when we're not there.
Yeah, we got to keep the chalk out. No chalk zone.
It is the no chalk zone, of course. Barry Spears and Urban Handicapper and the Cannon Shell that have just been so much fun and really have just added to the whole, the whole media atmosphere, via not just Twitter, the Chuck with his writing and serious-minded insights on the industry and the long his long experience literally from childhood. Through the University of Arizona. The childhood that continues.
Heading back to childhood.
But it's great to get Chuck back into Louisville because he showed me, Barry, all, when I started coming regularly 20 years ago and had Chuck as a guide. And we had so much fun. And it's not the same coming here, Chuck, when you're not, since you left.
Well, I'm just going to have to make a big score on the Derby weekend here, and I'll buy a house, and we'll just use it for the Derby.
I love it. Well, let me let the two of you. I'll let you kind of go back and forth. Let's quickly get some Friday thoughts. And Barry, what are you doing in the Oaks, and anything else on the Friday card that appeals?
Well, as far as the Oaks, I'm on the same page you are. From what I gather, is Kathleen O. I've been on this horse since the Gulfstream Park folks, where she just ran lights out. I know it was a small field and, got up the fire was her only competition, but, man, she was just excellent that day. If you go back and look at that replay, at the top of the stretch, Javier kind of twirls his whip, hits her one time, and she takes off. And I'm expecting a nice trip on Friday or tomorrow. where she's going to be wide and clear and kind of do the same thing. Run them down late.
Chuck, what, jump in with your thought.
I don't like Secret Oath. I'm against Secret Oath. I think Secret Oath peaked too early, and I think that I don't like my horses peaking in January. And I think she did. And that's not something you can actually control, but I'm a little against her. To me, the race is a pretty simple race. It's Nest and it's Kathleen O. Unless in a sea of slop, speed gets really, really good.
Right.
And Echo Zulu just outruns them. And, I mean, that is a possibility. That's why it's so difficult. I actually put a piece out yesterday on the Kentucky Oaks preview about the folly of handicapping races a month before. And you don't know exactly who's going to be in. You don't know where they're going to, you know, what post positions they have. And you don't know what the track condition is going to be like. So, I mean, the weather looks frightful starting this afternoon. So it's hard to imagine that the Oaks is not going to be run over, at least a muddy track. Which, of course, none of these horses have run over it either. So, but to me, the Oaks is a formful race. The Derby, on the other hand, I think is the opposite. I don't have a Derby horse. I need to see how everything's going, how the track's playing, what it's like, what if it's a drying out track. But I don't think the best horses are a whole lot better than the second best
right.
horses. And I mean, Zandon's has worked great, and he's a fair favorite, but he's won one stake race, and it happened to be his last race. And he's coming back on short rest for the first time. And that might have been his peak. That's the thing. Is a horse like the winner last year, the actual winner, not the... Well the horse that we all cashed on, not the eventual winner, you know, he had been running like threes on the thoroughbreds. And his best race was the Derby. He ran a one. He ran a good race. You see most of the time the Derby winners are horses that run their best race in the Derby. And if you've already run really fast... Yeah, you could pair it up, but you know the odds are that you might regress a little bit, and it's a tough race, and I mean, to me, I'm more focused on the undercards. I think the undercards are great. I think Ben Huffman has done an amazing job over the years, and I mean, this year's is as good as any. And, you know, we might get a little squeezed by the rain tomorrow, which is, you know, stuff that happens. But the Pat Day Mile is great. The Ali Sheba is a really, really good race for a grade two at this time of the year. I mean, it's a super race. And, yeah, you have a couple horses in there that are probably better going longer, like Happy Saver and Max Player. But, I mean, they're legitimate grade one horses. So it's a...
Definitely like Wayburn in that spot, to be honest. I like Wayburn in
yeah,
that spot.
Yeah, I think Wayburn... I saw Brendan at the sale a couple weeks ago, and he said that was the spot. And of course, I jinxed him by saying, you know what, that might be a kind of a soft spot, you know. I mean, there's been so many different races, and, you know, I'm sure I got to duck him now because I'm sure he'd be pissed off for me jinxing him. But there's some really good races, and not a lot of huge, like, prohibitive favorites. I mean, is that kind of what you see? Like, I don't see any... Like, there'll be favorites, but they're not, like, unbeatable favorites. They're
right.
not, like, the filly in the sprint race last year, you know, you couldn't bet against her. Gammai, right? I mean, you could bet against
her. Yeah, nothing like
throwing that. Your money.
Nothing like that at all.
They're
no way, yeah. I mean, I guess you
day.
Could say with the Phillies race with Peter is the devil, that race yeah. maybybe, the much ran, that one may be really chalky. But everything around that, I don't ever trust her, but she wins.
Well, and Pauline Spurl, it feels like the two of them will get you through the race. Barry, talk about your Derby opinion.
It's tough. I mean, you know, my pretty much my Derby hopes kind of go through Epicenter and how that horse kind of breaks. The horse I do like a lot that'll be a price is Simplification. I love that horse's Florida Derby where, you know, kind of pressed the pace, then dueled and kind of hung around. And usually, you know, on a normal day-to-day basis where you see horses do that sort of thing, they come back and they run very, very well. You know, obviously the Derby's a whole different animal, but, you know, kind of keying in on some of those kind of principles still applies when you know, make calls in big races. So, I'm hoping Simplification runs well. Horse like Tawnyport, I'd like to see kind of run up into third or fourth. And, you know, if that happens, you know, it's Red Lobster time.
So give us the four then. Epicenter, Simplification, Tawnyport, and
Crump Ride. I just like the way that horse is training. You know, it's a little unorthodox, but it seems like that horse just runs and runs and runs. And, you know, with horses that only have two or three starts in this field, he may have a little bit of foundation that the others may not. So I'll give him a shot. Hopefully his price won't get, you know, he's not too much of a buzz horse and he gets bet down. But, you know, I'll take 20-1 on him any day.
Well, and that and Chuck, you know, you've certainly gone through enough derbies, and the Oaks actually is even maybe even a better example of this. There is no way that you're not going to get a square enough price on any of those middle long shot types, because there's just no magnet that is going to, you know, essentially skew the, you know, the numbers. There's this wide middle these days. There's this big group, say the top four choices. There's this huge group of 12 to 25 to ones that, you know, especially if you get any combination of them. If your key horse, you know, Simplification is a horse that we've been talking about for months, and that to me is the kind of horse that you key off of, you know, in a derby, and you put him, you know, with some logicals, and then you get a logical, and you get your key horse, and then you get one more price, and you're going to get a four-digit trifecta out of it.
Yeah, no doubt. That's what I was, you know, that's kind of what I meant before when I said the difference between the top few horses and the second tier. There's really not much of a difference at all. Look at Smile Happy and the favorite, Zandon. What's really the difference in their form? I mean, it's
nothing.
Exactly. One's 3-1, one's 20-1.
Position. The only difference that separates a lot of them are the where they finished in all the prep races.
Right.
Not for the fact that they couldn't have won, just they didn't win on that day. And they could just easily turn it around on Derby Day, get a break here, break there, and it's a whole nother ball game.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's Smile Happy will be. I'll be using him on some of the tickets. I'm probably not. I'm probably going to be playing, you know, verticals into the Derby, or horizontals. Are they horizontal or vertical?
Horizontal is the pick X's. Yes.
Horizontal. I'm a horizontal.
Yeah. I'll give you one I don't like.
I mean, there's like 13. Go ahead.
I'll give you one I don't like is Messier. I'm not using that horse at all. I think that the win, the blowout win that he had, was a little bias aided. That day, a lot of winners were on the lead, and that field was extremely weak in comparison.
Do I need to give my screed of the worst Derby prep ever? That was the worst Derby prep field ever outside of the winner. Two of the horses worked again. One worked and worked. It stopped working, and then the other horse that ran is going on like a nationwide tour of getting his ass kicked. so it's like that was one of the worst. And I told Barry, we talked about this on the show. I think Messier lost the Santa Anita Derby more than the other horse. I think the other horse won the race because he had to win the race. He's a quality horse, and Messier got a little bit too close to the flame, you know, of the pace. But he didn't have much excuse, you know.
Like
Messier didn't have much fight either. He was done pretty early, and I agree with Barry on tossing Messier. I'm not going to use him. I'm not going to use the horse Tavia. I'm not using the Japanese horse who's brought, you know. I'm not using Summers Tomorrow. I'm not using Happy Jack. Come on, Happy Jack. He couldn't win one of the allowance races on the undercard.
I can, by the way,
I am using Pioneer Denial too, or Pioneer Medina. Yes, I've had a strange obsession about this horse. I had a dream that he won the Derby.
He's looked terrific, and in fact, in that tandem work with Charget, mm-hmm. I thought he outworked Charget. It didn't look to me like he was being asked as much as Charget was. And of course, I had a backup question. We're going to be out of time, but I did have a backup question. I was going to ask about the inexperienced horses, but you basically with your selections, you sort of have kind of answered that question. The best prep, by the way, for those that haven't realized it, turned out to be the Risen Star, which has got five horses in the Derby, and only an injury to Slow Down Andy prevented the Risen Star having six horses in the Derby.
That's right.
Pretty crazy. Barry, best of luck, Urban Handicapper, everybody, and I'm sure you've got eight more appearances lined up between now and Saturday.
You wouldn't believe it, man, if I told you. I got one coming up at 12:30 in Fox Sports, Arizona. So we're making the round.
That a boy. I love it. Urban Handicapper, everybody, Barry Spears, and Chuck Simon, Cannon Shell, longtime contributor to At the Races.
I want everyone to check out silks.io. Big announcement coming next week.
Silks.io. Oh, is this the game thing?
Yes. Big announcement coming out next
week.
Big
announcement.
Any further?
Right,
Silks.io.
Very fun. You let me know what I can. If there's anything I can do.
Yeah, we're going to give you the first option on the announcement's made. You're going to be it.
Okay. You tell me whatever you need. Chuck Simon, everybody, and Barry Spears, guys. Thanks so much. The Going in Circles tandem, and a hell of a forecourt. Or backcourt.
We think we're a backcourt.
Everybody wants to handle the ball. Guys, thanks a lot. I got to pull up, and we got to get you out into the race day. It is Thursday. I didn't get a chance to talk about the great card at Belmont either on Saturday. You've also got Monmouth kicking off on Saturday. I got to slip that in. And, in fact, the start of the fixed odds wagering. Thanks to Andy Beyer, Nick Tamaro, Tom Law, Satish Sanan, Haskin and Shulman, Darren and Davis, Rogers, Chuck and Barry, as well as Scott Shapiro. Back tomorrow with the Big Oak Show and heavy handicapping of the Saturday card. Thanks, everybody. Podcast and stream and archive, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo STEVE200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at CountryLifeFarm.com.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day of the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series. Yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.